This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:04 this evening. First up, we're going to be talking about MyCards.
The Malaysian government has always stressed the importance of its citizens' convenience and constant advancement of technology. In striving for excellence in the management of its citizens, the government initiated the identity card, a mandatory document containing basic information of individuals to be used formally in government agencies. And from the year 2000 onwards, under the initiative of the Multimedia Super Corridor, MSC, has taken the form of a smart card called the MyCard.
Man, how cool does that make our IC sound?
I know. Also, the tone of that video is just so Big Brother, it isn't even funny.
It's Big Brother, but it's also high tech. I was carried away personally by all that pulsating, you know, all those pulsating beats.
Yeah,
they got me.
So, apparently, we've just been losing them left, right and center.
And apparently the main reason is carelessness, because we are the worst people. So that's been cited as the main reason for missing my cards from 2016 up till last month. So pretty much in the last two and a half years, according to the National Registration Department. And this is based on more than 1 million reports.
That's right. 1 million my cards have gone missing. Besides carelessness being the main factor, criminal cases and natural disasters were other reasons for missing my cards. And the Deputy Director General for Operations at the National Registration Department has been quoted as saying that MyCard owners should be aware of the importance of the document.
No, I don't even understand why that needs to be reiterated. It's just...
Well, you can't do anything in this country without them.
So, he also said that raising the fine for lost MyCards has made people more careful. Typical. The fine for missing my card since 2015 has been 100 ringgit for your first time, 200 for the second, 300 for the third. He also said that those who've lost their my cards for the third time will be subject to detailed investigation.
Are they selling their my cards? There are exceptions, right? So if you've lost it in a criminal case or because of a natural disaster, you've only got to pay 10 ringgit. And the same fees applied to the disabled and young people under 18 years old.
So how many times have you lost your my card?
Once. Because of I got pickpocketed, so my whole wallet went.
Yes, me too. Same. Right. Once, and I was in Australia, so it was especially traumatic. I don't know. There's something about losing your MyCard, even though you're in a country where technically they don't ask for it, which is
there's a sense of panic, right?
Yes, huge panic.
See, that indoctrination really works, because in school as well, you know, when before this it was called the IC, right?
Yeah.
Before it was called MyCard. And they used to drill it into you, don't lose your IC. This is your identification document. Like, it's like the end of the world. And so if I can't find it, once I left my MyCard, I don't think this is my fault, because I was signing up for a mobile phone line. And, you know, they take your MyCard and make a photocopy. But the guy just didn't give it back to me. He left it in the photocopying machine. And so we're signing documents and I just left. And there was blind panic for a couple of days before I retraced my steps and then realized, I think I know where it is.
Interesting. I don't think I've ever misplaced my card like that, simply because I'm very conscious of wanting it back. You know, when I handed it off to somebody, I need it back in my possession very, very soon. So yeah, carelessness, though, apparently, is why people lose it.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't understand. At the same time, there are many people living in Malaysia who cannot get a MyCard. And if you don't have the MyCard, it does mean that you can't work, you can't open a bank account. Here's a lady sharing her experience to the Star TV.
Saya datang ke Indonesia, JPM sudah banyak kali lah dalam berapa tahun, selama 30 tahun sekarang, selama dari saya umur 12 tahun sampai sekarang, banyak kali saya datang, tak terkira berapa tahun, berapa bulan, berapa hari. So masalah bagi saya nak pergi ke hospital, nak check doktor, nak bekerja, nak buka account bank, nak ambil lesen, so salah lah.
You can't do anything.
No, you really cannot.
There are also apparently over 100,000 unclaimed MyCards at the NRD. So if one of those does belong to you, pick it up quickly, because if you haven't done so after 36 months, the NRD will dispose of your card physically and in the NRD system, which means you're a ghost.
You don't exist, yes. So now on to our next story.
We just had to, la.
That that, I mean, that's an evocative sound effect. So a man eating tigress in India is sparking controversy. And to be very clear, we are speaking of a female tiger. I'm not speaking metaphorically at all. The tigress known as T1 is believed to be responsible for the deaths of 13 people since January 2016 in the state's eastern Yavatmal district.
Right. So three were killed in August alone. And in one particularly grisly case, as much as 60% of the victim's body had been consumed by the tigress. And this is according to official records.
So the reason we're talking about this, you know, we wouldn't talk about any old tiger on the show. It's particularly because India's tiger population is strictly protected. And so any attempt to kill one of the animals requires approval from authorities under the country's Wildlife Protection Act. And conservationists have questioned the evidence linking the animal to attacks on humans, which then forced the case to the Supreme Court. And they've noted that it's very rare for a single tiger to actually attack so many people.
Yeah. So in Tuesday's ruling, the court sided with local authorities in allowing forest rangers to shoot the tiger if they fail to capture it, which kind of strikes a blow to activists and campaigners battling to save the tigress.
To shoot the tiger, but also to shoot to kill.
Sorry, not just to tranquilize. Right?
Yes. Last week, the New York Times reported rangers were gearing up for a military-style operation, deploying rangers with tranquilizer guns on the backs of half a dozen elephants to surround the tiger, capture her, and move her to a zoo.
It's a screenplay writing itself.
Honestly, I can see it in my mind's eye.
So local politicians, of course, are under pressure to have the tiger shot dead because, you know, after three people were killed in August, that's what politicians tend to do, prioritize human life over animal life, right? Now, there is a political reason why tiger and human conflicts are increasing in India. Here's a little snippet from CBS News.
One of the reasons that tigers are coming into more contact with human beings and these events are actually increasing, there's actually a political story behind this, right? Which is that the BJP, the party that runs India, is a party with a strong kind of Hindu nationalist politics. And one of the issues that's very important to their most hardcore supporters is protecting cows from slaughter, right? For many devout Hindus, cows enjoy a nearly sacred status, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the problems that that's causing is that it's leading to an overpopulation of cows, right? India has a huge milk industry. Once cows are no longer producing milk, generally what milk farmers do is they kill the cows or sell them to leather and leather makers and butchers. Because they can't do that, there's this huge population of underfed, mangy cows wandering around, which draws tigers out of the forest to have a bite, where they come into closer contact with human beings. There's another part of the story, though, which is that the tiger conservation efforts have actually gone extraordinarily well over the past 20 years, but the habitats that the tigers live in are being reduced by overdevelopment and economic deregulation, which is another key plank of the BJP platform, which is trying to grow India's economy. So it's this confluence of religious politics, politics, economic development, and tigers.
Officials have also said they'll try to tranquilize and relocate the tigress's two cubs, along with a male tiger called T2, which has also been spotted in the area but hasn't been blamed for any deaths. T1 has been quite
elusive.
Yes, she's apparently been tried to capture. They've tried to capture her on four previous attempts and they've failed each time.
Yeah, so conservationists apparently plan to appeal the Supreme Court dismissal and a review of the process. I mean, the story is developing. but for me, it's a really fascinating one, if only because I think this story shows just how much nuance there is in conservation versus what to do in situations where, I want to say, rogue tigers go on a killing spree versus even, I guess, angles of hunting for the purposes of conservation as well, right?
Yes, because, I mean, the only reason why this went up to the Supreme Court was because of the protections that the tiger has in the first place. And that in and of itself is something that I think is pretty interesting to explore.
Yeah.
We were talking about MyCard, losing your MyCard earlier, mm-hmm. and how carelessness is a top reason for it. Uma, you told the story about somebody kind of taking your MyCard for a photocopy. Matthew Baer has said there is no valid reason for anyone to photocopy your MyCard.
There isn't. And people still do it, right? When you go to apply for banking loans or whatever, I mean, you don't need a photocopy. And what they do is they photocopy, then they exit out and make you sign in a corner as if that's going to make a difference.
Let us know. Have you had any dodgy experiences with people trying to nick your MyCard or just doing something that they probably shouldn't? Have you lost it? Let us know. WhatsApp us at
018-789-8899.
Brain freeze.
Breathe freely, Malaysians. BFM. 89.9.
519.
Business Station.
519 on the evening edition. Lynn and Uma with you. I really got to get used to those new Joe Hashem liners.
You're getting there.
For the longest time, he didn't end with the Business Station, I know. We've changed things up and I get easily confused. Now, we're going through stories both local and foreign, and we're bringing things home for the next one. This one from our housing and local government minister, Zuraida Kamarudin, who wants to set up a support system in low-cost flats for childcare. Now, how it works is that parents at home will be given incentives to help look after their neighbor's children while they're not at home.
This announcement came after an incident on Thursday where a three-year-old girl fell over a balcony railing at the Kota Damansara low-cost PPR flats. It was the fourth incident to happen at that same PPR where a young child had fallen over a balcony railing, and three of the four incidents have been fatal.
So the minister claims that this idea should solve the problem of childcare at low-cost flats when parents are out working or running errands. This is because families living in those flats often can't afford to hire maids or send their children to childcare centres.
The other thing we need to consider here is that rusty railings were blamed in past incidents, but the minister has said that this was not the case in this particular moment, adding that she wasn't in favour of putting up so much grilling because it would make the house seem like a jail, which I've always thought, actually.
Yeah, she also added that the root of the problem here is the inability of B40 families to handle household matters because they already have a hard time making an honest living, right?
And on that note, a while ago, we spoke with Dr. Amjad Rabi, who is the past deputy representative and senior policy specialist at UNICEF Malaysia. He actually raised the suggestion to have community childcare programs, and he talked about this in the context of Minister Zuraida's previous suggestion to increase the size of PPR homes. Here are his suggestions.
You might have smaller house size, but you have lots of publicly provided services, such as access to public library where children can read and study, or where parents can go for community centres, where grandparents as well can go to community centres. Another area where we need also to encourage revisiting again is acknowledge that household size vary. You might have household size of 7 people and maybe 2 people. So it might be also revisit how we allocate based on per capita. So we have a threshold on per capita space for the house size to be allocated for households with children, then to give a bigger size, but also closer to the community where children can go to safe space. I'm happy to share more specific ideas, but one model we can look at is related to the issue of three generations living in the same household. What we can look at, the modality where we bring the senior citizens, our respected grandparents who live in the same community, to be part of the service delivery. So if a place is allocated for the community where children can play, or where we can form play groups, imagine if we can hire the grandmother, grandparents to be the ones who run those play groups. So this will be win-win-win. Win for children because they will be well taken care of from members from the community. It will be good for our senior citizens that now Malaysia is aging rapidly, so they will have meaningful engagement with the community and providing very meaningful support. And it will be very useful for parents, encouraging mothers to participate in the labour market.
Right. The minister said that this idea for a community childcare system is part of the new national community policy, which she plans to finalise by the end of the month. She also said that a pilot study had been conducted at 2 PPR complexes, and they're hoping to kick off the programme by October 1st.
That's pretty soon.
It is. But also, this is the most discussion that we've had about PPR flats and I guess the problems and issues of living there in a long time. Over the last 6 months, I would say that it's really taken a spotlight, which is great.
Which is fantastic, especially so because it involves children, right? It involves people who have really no control at all over where they happen to be. They are growing up in these flats and they need to have the same kinds of protections that you would expect for any child. They shouldn't be so easily endangered, I think.
I hate the fact that it's taken this many deaths for this conversation to get started. But now that the minister seems to be on the case, she seems rather serious about doing something about it. And also, she seems rather serious about what that UNICEF report said. Because, you know, when the UNICEF report came out before the last election, the previous mayor of Kuala Lumpur didn't necessarily had all a series of justifications as to why things were, as opposed to taking that report and saying, no, actually, if this is the reality, we have to do something about it.
Yes, correct. I also think it's worth pointing out that we do have a more communal approach to childcare here, as opposed to, say, in the West. And so perhaps this is something that will then be more easily taken on than it might in other countries, which don't have that same measure of, well, we do look after one another. We have that sort of, you know, we all live in a village kind of mentality.
Correct. I couldn't agree more.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.